Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, October 30th, 2019. I think it's ironic. We're on the cusp of El Día de los Muertos. And with the Fabian Society and eugenics, I think, and education, you know, we drift quickly into the Frankfurt School and, you know, those who think that the best way to liberate society is, you know, by plunging us into utter darkness and complete moral depravity. And necrophilia is the road to salvation. And, you know, that's not being hyperbolic. That's very literal, and probably come back to those two articles at some point. Anyway, before we get back to the Reese Committee testimony and then to education, let's go to the phones. Jim in Brooklyn. Jim in New York. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Not too bad, Jim.
I wanted to talk about, with regard to the Federal Reserve System, I wanted to link that in together with big pharma, big agriculture, and some of these other industries, because they are all killing Americans one way or another. And yesterday, this was brought home. Did you hear about the Senate inquiry with the president of Boeing yesterday?
Yeah.
Well, I heard some of the sound bites, and he was really, really, I would say, condescending and obnoxious. As he walked out, first of all, what happened inside? It's interesting that Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, who was a far left-wing, real left-wing person, and Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, who was a real, I would say, a firebrand on the right wing, they both pounded him, and he really could not answer them. And he's responsible for the deaths of 350 people, and just like with pharmacy killing almost hundreds of thousands of opioid addicts and big agriculture poisoning people, these are all interlocked with the administrative branch of government and legislators. And I see no way for it to end. The Fed, big agriculture, big pharmacy, and then perhaps several other industries. Now do you remember the case with the milk formula from China that was killing babies?
Yeah.
Do you remember what happened? What happened when they brought the guy responsible? The Chinese government brought him in. You remember
No.
what happened? They put him on a questioning, on a trial of sorts. And as soon as it was over, they dragged him outside and they shot him. Now this doesn't. We would not expect that to happen here, but we would expect something to happen here, and it will not happen.
You talk about the Federal Reserve, and this is exactly why I mention things like the excerpt from Andrew Jackson's 1837 farewell address, where he said, "Unless you become more watchful in your states," and he was talking about this power specifically that gives rise to these other forms. Guys like Washington talked about that, but the way Andrew Jackson put it, unless you become more watchful in your states and check this spirit of monopoly and thirst for exclusive privileges, you will in the end find that the most important powers of government have been given or bartered away, and the control over your dearest interests has passed into the hands of these corporations.
Yeah. That's it. But
I think that pretty much sums it up.
I'm not advocating anything, but unless these corporations are attacked in a Patrick Henry fashion, things aren't going to change. It's so embedded across the board; it will not change. All things being the way they are. If there are people who want to make physical attacks, I'm not advocating it. But I think they should aim their wrath at the instigators in these institutions. I just wanted to mention something you mentioned about Moses approaching Pharaoh. We say Pharaoh in Hebrew. Anyhow, when he approached him, I took it as, you know, as being just an ultimatum. I didn't see it as being any kind of a persuasion of any sort.
That's my point. It wasn't persuasion. He was just saying, tell Pharaoh. He didn't say, persuade him. Go convince him.
And I want to mention something interesting about that. The first time that Moses, among those plagues, the first time he was instructed to visit Paro, he was instructed to go visit him at the River Nile. And the commentary said, why did Moses have to go visit Pharaoh at the River Nile? Because Pharaoh held himself to be an idol, a false god. And he told people he didn't have to use the bathroom, ever to use the bathroom. So he used to sneak up in the morning, this is commentaries, he used to sneak up in the morning and go into the river. And Moses was supposed to confront him there in that moment of embarrassment. That's what I would throw that in there.
Interesting commentary.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thanks for your call, Jim. Much appreciated, as always.
Have a good day.
You too. Thanks. Speaking of Andrew Jackson and the warnings, Jackson in his farewell address also said, the severe lessons of experience will, I doubt not, be sufficient to prevent Congress from again chartering such a monopoly. Oops. Maybe not. I mean, even though it was under, you know, the veil of intrigue, deception, and coercion, undoubtedly. Even if the Constitution did not present an insuperable objection to it. What? An objection? Insuperable objection to what? The Federal Reserve. But he said, you must remember, my fellow citizens, that eternal vigilance by the people is the price of liberty, and that you must pay the price if you wish to secure the blessing. I've said it before. What if we had a people in America who were not distracted and diverted? The word these days I don't like is undeterred. I don't like it. But, you know, what if Americans were not diverted or distracted? The diversionary tactics, the misdirection, the little flashbangs that go off, the shiny, flashy baubles, the whiskey and beads, the tchotchkes. You know, what if we were not distracted? And I guess undeterred, if there's a good application of the word, in our eternal vigilance that Andrew Jackson spoke of. And it was a particular context. And this is echoed by many folks, you know, and you just can't seem to, for some reason, that just doesn't stick. Why is that? Why is that? Well, we got to do something, you know. There is a widening disparity. More and more Americans are impoverished. Yeah, the way to deal with that is to get rid of the Federal Reserve, to walk away from the central banking scheme, to walk away from the credit monopoly. Credit's not a good thing. You know, there's good credit and bad credit, and the Federal Reserve is bad credit. You're supposed to manage the value of the dollar. Yeah, managing it right into the ground. Estimates are that the value of the dollar has diminished. It's not the value. Anyway, the purchasing power has diminished at this point. It's not. You know, we've passed into through the looking glass, you know. So it's not value now. It's purchasing power, because the dollar's backed by nothing. But the full faith and credit of the American people. Anyway, purchasing power is eroded at least 80% since the closing of the gold window. That's the speculation anyway. So that's not a good thing. So it's impoverishing Americans in Keynesian fashion, you know, generally just sort of arbitrarily impoverishing America, who does not go to the London School of Economics and learn about the first money game and how to launder your you know, arms market bazaar looting through different offshore activities, and then back through the New York Stock Exchange, et cetera, et cetera. Most people don't learn how to do that. So, you know, you have that, and you have these tax-exempt organizations that don't have the friction of taxation applied that the rest of the American public do. You can't, you know, look at what has happened just in the last generation or two with inheritance. You can hardly pass anything on to your family if you don't set up some kind of, you know, living trust or foundation or something. And who can afford to do that? Maybe we could all commission Deloitte to do some pro bono work like it did for the Yak Montana for high-speed internet. That's not suspicious at all. Back to the Reese Committee testimony. Again, Norman Dodd giving an excerpt. He says, "The broad study which called our attention to the activities of these organizations has revealed not only their support by foundations, but has disclosed a degree of cooperation between them, which they have referred to as an interlock, quote unquote, thus indicating a concentration of influence and power." A concentration of influence and power. That is, historically speaking, patently un-American as far as I'm aware. Continuing, "By this phrase, they indicate they are bound by a common interest rather than a dependency upon a single source for capital funds." Cornpone opinions, right? Mark Twain, Cornpone opinions. You show me where a man gets his cornpone and I'll tell you what his opinions is. Indicate they are bound by a common interest rather than a dependency upon a single source for capital funds. "It is difficult to avoid the feeling that their common interest has led them to cooperate closely with one another, and that this common interest lies in the planning and control of certain aspects of American life through a combination of the federal government and education." That's pretty much it right there in a nutshell. Continuing, skipping ahead, "It is also interesting to note that by comparison with funds for research provided by foundations, those now flowing from our government," you got to, you know, put the American people on the hook for this. Foundations don't do anything for free. These people, you know, again, de Balzac's axiom, behind every great fortune, there is a crime. They don't donate a dollar without knowing that they're going to get at least 10 back. "It's also interesting to note that by comparison with funds for research provided by foundations, those now flowing from our government are so large they dwarf foundation contributions. This promises to be true for some time to come and indicates that foundations may extend their influence over a wider area than in the past. The result of the development and cooperation of the network in which foundations have played such a significant role seems to have provided this country with what is tantamount to a national system of education." What's wrong with that? "Under the tight control of organizations and persons little known to the American public." Oh, well, maybe that might be a problem. "Its operations and ideas are so complex as to be beyond public understanding or control." Okay, that might be a problem. Public education in the hands of folks little known to the American public and under operations so complex as to be beyond public understanding or control. That could be, I mean, you know. But, you know, what could be wrong with that, Irwin Mainway, right? Well, Norman Dodd continues. "It also seems to have resulted in an educational product which can be traced to research of a predominantly empirical character in the inexact or social sciences." What do you mean? What are you getting at? "In these fields, the specialists, more often than not," and I would put, you know, specialists in air quotes, "the experts. In these fields, the specialists, more often than not, seem to have been concerned with the production of empirical data Oh, you mean like technocratic, you know, soothsaying, querying the data. And with its application, principles and their truth or falsity seem to have concerned them very little. Oh, so they're just trying to use the data to, you know, manipulate people, essentially, is what he's getting at. Look, the data says, and therefore, regardless of principles. Continuing, he said, in what appears from our studies to have been zeal for a radically new social order in the United States, many of these social science specialists apparently gave little thought to either the opinions or the warnings of those who were convinced that a wholesale acceptance of knowledge acquired almost entirely by empirical methods, which gets back to the dialectical model and persuading folks post-truth, post-truth era. Many of these social science specialists apparently gave little thought to either the opinions or warnings of those who were convinced that a wholesale acceptance of knowledge acquired almost entirely by empirical methods would result in a deterioration of moral standards and a disrespect for principles. And, you know, most people categorize that these days as a sort of leftward leaning dialectical advance. Continuing, Norman Dodd said, even past experience, which indicated that such an approach to the problems of society could lead to tyranny, appears to have been disregarded. This is the Reese Committee hearings. A couple more entries, and then we'll get to Education, Chapter 36 from Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand. The federal government and education. Wiring those two things together to move the American public along a dialectical continuum. So, Fabian socialism. It's interesting, you know, there's the discussion of skipping down. Aaron Sargent, his testimony is interesting. According to the Wikipedia entry, Aaron Sargent, whose political and economic thinking could be judged by his charge that the U.S. quote-unquote income tax was part of a plot by Fabian socialists operating from England to pave the way for socialism in this country. Aaron Sargent's exchange with Mr. Hayes when we come back. Stick around, more right after this break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Back. An effort to change, to alter, irrevocably alter life in America by means of education. Again, Thomas McNeese, his report to the Reese Committee, the Economics of the Public Interest, Assistant Director of Research to the Reese Committee. He wrote, these original studies of the public interest disclosed that during the 4 years, 1933 to 36, a change took place which was so drastic as to constitute a revolution. They also indicated conclusively that the responsibility for the economic welfare of the American people had been transferred heavily to the executive branch of the federal government, patently un-American. That a corresponding change in education had taken place from an impetus outside the local community, again, anathema, and that this revolution had occurred without violence and with full consent of an overwhelming majority of the electorate. How is this possible? That was what they asked, McNeese wrote, in seeking to explain this unprecedented phenomenon. Subsequent studies pursued by the staff clearly showed it could not have occurred peacefully or with the consent of the majority, unless what? Unless education in the United States had been prepared in advance to endorse it. And how would we know? How would people know? If there was ever a front line of the battle, if there was an epic illustration of trying to meet this conspiracy head on, certainly it was the Reese Committee. In contrast to Aaron Sargent's remarks, again, Aaron, this is from the Wikipedia entry on the United States House Select Committee to Investigate Tax-Exempt Foundations and Comparable Organizations. That's the Wikipedia entry. Known alternatively as the Cox Committee and Reese Committee after its two chairmen, Edward E. Cox and B. Carroll Reese. So I mentioned from that excerpt, you know, the committee gave 3 days to the testimony of San Francisco attorney Aaron Sargent, whose political and economic thinking could be judged by his charge that the U.S., quote, income tax was part of a plot by Fabian socialists operating from England to pave the way for socialism in this country. By contrast, again from the Wikipedia entry, The committee's two Democrats, Wayne L. Hayes, Chairman Hayes, that is, and Gracie Faust, refused to sign the final report. The Hayes-Faust minority report charged that the foundations, quote, have been indicted and convicted under procedures which can only be characterized as barbaric, end quote. The minority accused Chairman Reese and the committee staff of a, quote, deep-seated antagonism toward foundations, which might well be characterized as pathological. Well, yeah, they're anti-American in their grant-making efforts. Literally anti-American. Anti-individual, anti-freedom and liberty for the vast majority of Americans. You know, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu, that kind of thing. And in some cases, perhaps quite literally. That doesn't bode well for the vast majority of Americans. So this is the front lines of trying to meet this conspiracy head on. So again, we have the subject of Fabian socialism and the Fabian society, you know, Fabian socialists operating from England to pave the way for socialism in this country. How did this happen? Education is vital and essential. Don't worry, we already have your children. And you can't do anything about it. Both parents are working. What are you going to do? So, Sargent and Hayes go back and forth. And Hayes is trying to split hairs on what kind of socialism, what brand of socialism are you talking about? You know, so backing up, let me see. Aaron Sargent says, I appear strictly in an individual capacity. That corporation is not affected in this matter. I'm speaking entirely on that basis. Now, I have prepared a statement for the committee, which at this time I would like to read. The investigation required of this committee is one of the most important matters which has ever come before the Congress of the United States. It concerns the national security, the defense of the principles set forth in the Constitution of the United States. You will find that the situation confronting you is the result of a disregard of trust responsibility, a condition amounting to abdication of duty by the trustees of the tax-exempt foundations, which have exerted such a great influence in the history of our country since the turn of the century, the 20th century. In discharging its responsibility and weighing the evidence, this committee must have some standard or yardstick to apply. Well, what is it? He mentions that next. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out, Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Interesting exchange between Chairman Hayes and Mr. Sargent. So, what's the yardstick? In discharging its responsibility and weighing the evidence, this committee must have some standard or yardstick to apply. What constitutes disregard of trust responsibility, a condition amounting to abdication of duty by the trustees of the tax-exempt foundations, which have exerted such a great influence in the history of our country since the turn of the 20th century? The yardstick is as follows. Sargent says, I believe the following are the legal and moral standards which apply to this trust relationship. This is an elaboration of the poster we have on the board here. So he says, standards of foundation conduct. It is the duty of tax-exempt foundations and their trustees to observe and be guided by the following standards of conduct. First, patriotism. To bear true faith and allegiance to the philosophy and principles of government set forth in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. Second, loyalty. to be active and positive in supporting the United States government against revolutionary and other subversive attacks, to put patriotic money at the disposal of patriotic men in this field of education to enable them to support and defend our Constitution and form of government. Third, obedience to law, to faithfully obey the laws of the United States and the provisions of the state of law under which foundation charters are granted. Fourth, respect for exemption, to use the tax exemption privilege in good faith, recognizing the purpose for which that privilege is granted. To refrain from supporting communism, socialism, and other movements which, one, increase the cost of government, two, endanger the national security, or three, threaten the integrity of the federal government. And Hayes jumps in. Right there. Hayes says, right there, I'm going to stop you and ask a question. That is a very fine statement, but if you refrain from supporting everything that the Republican campaign orators call socialism, then you would be against everything that has been passed by Congress in the past 20 years. Is that your definition? I'd probably say yes, quite frankly. You know, and based largely on the Reese Committee's investigation, perhaps. But Sargent says, no, sir. When I talk about socialism in my testimony, Mr. Hayes, I mean, what does he mean? He says, I mean socialism of the kind advocated by the Fabians of Great Britain, which has ruined the economic system of that country, not individual projects, which may seem wise for some purpose or other on their own merits. And that is an interesting distinction. I mean socialism of the kind advocated by the Fabians of Great Britain. Oh, democratic socialism. A corrosive and harmful ideological grenade, essentially. So Hayes responds, I won't debate with you what has ruined the economic system of Great Britain, or even say that Time magazine a week or two ago talked about the remarkable recovery and the great dollar balance. We will leave that out. Would you consider bank insurance to be socialism? Sargent says, no, not within the scope of what I mean here. Hayes asks or says, we want to get this term straightened out because it has been too widely applied. Sargent says, I'm very happy to do that. Hayes, how about old age insurance? Sargent, no. Social Security and unemployment insurance? Sargent, no. See, I would say probably yes on all of these since they're planks essentially of Fabian socialism. Hayes, you would not consider any of those to be socialism? And Sargent responds, I'm talking about nationalization of business and industry, a government-operated system which is national socialism or Fabian socialism. National socialism or Fabian socialism. When I think national socialism, I think, well, a couple of things in particular. And so then they get into the Tennessee Valley Authority. That's an interesting peripheral discussion. Hayes says, we will try to get one maybe you can in on. How about TVA? Sargent says, I think that is doubtful. Hayes says, that is in the sort of gray area. Sargent says, you're not asking my policy on legislative matters now, ? And anyway, skipping ahead in Sargent's answer, he says, I think when we get to questioning the socialism aspect of TVA, it is well to keep in mind just what the TVA is. And that is the reason I am taking a little while here to make this explanation with reference to the Tennessee Valley Authority and my view of my intimate relations with it from its very inception. And it's an interesting discussion, but Sargent says, skipping ahead, – Well, Hayes says, concluding his statement, the only reason I have brought up the TVA is because it has been called and has become associated in the minds of a great many people with the term socialism. I wanted to know, when we're using the term here, what it does and does not cover. And so Sargent says, when I use the term socialism, I refer to the political movement, which is known as the socialist movement. The movement, which is working for a general program of planned economy based on nationalization of industry, business, national resources, and credit. The political operation of a nation's economy, not fragmentary things. Politics is something which these foundations are not supposed to go into. And I think they have no right to undermine the basis of their exemption by doing things of that type. It's an interesting distinction, I think. Anyway, continuing, so they get to the issue of Fabian socialism. Hayes says, you're throwing these terms around and you're going to continue, I'm pretty sure, and I want to get a delineation of what is and what is not socialism. When you use the word, you say it is Fabian socialism. You may understand that, and I have may have some smattering of what it means. But if they put that in the newspapers, to 99% of the people, it is going to mean nothing. And I think that's a valid point. And so skipping ahead, Sargent says, I'm giving you facts and not opinion. First of all, in approaching this problem of the foundation influence, the subversive teaching problem is a foundation problem. The subversive teaching problem is a foundation problem. And the foundation problem in turn is a political problem with many ramifications, which gets back to Thomas McNeice's words. From the American standpoint, it had its beginning shortly before the turn of the century in the 1890s. This movement is closely related to Fabian socialism, which became established in Great Britain about 1885 and developed into the movement which has undermined and almost destroyed the economic system of Great Britain. When the beachhead was established in our country, here's where we get to where we're going. When the beachhead was established in our country, we had three bulwarks of defense. First, there was a sound tradition founded on Americanism. What does that mean? We're coming back to that. I've sort of touched on that a couple of times this week. First, there was a sound tradition founded on Americanism. Secondly, a written constitution. And finally, federal judicial power in the courts capable of enforcing constitutional rights. And there, I would say, enter William Willoughby and the principles of judicial administration. Continuing, though, Sargent says, the radical intellectuals attacking that system relied upon propaganda and brainwashing. They organized an attack upon patriotism, challenging basic American philosophy founded on the doctrine of natural law. They sought to create a blackout of history. You know, gaslighting and occluding. They sought to create a blackout of history by slanting and distorting historical facts. They introduced a new and revolutionary philosophy, one based on the teachings of John Dewey. As early as 1892, they sought to establish the federal income tax to pave the way for national federal socialism. This had the effect of putting the people on an allowance. Does that sound American? It's a UBI. It's a universal basic income, giving the national government unlimited power to spend for socialistic purposes and reducing the people to its will. It was proposed to carry out other parts of the socialistic program by false and slanted propaganda. Eventually, the judicial power itself was to be undermined by court packing and by attacks calculated to make the court subject to the executive, capital E. And here we go. Education is one of the vital areas involved in this attack on the American system. The field includes not only elementary and secondary schools, but also our colleges and universities. The tax-exempt foundations are directly involved because they have supported this movement in the past and are still promoting it in ways which restrict educational activities and control public opinion. The history of this movement is a record of the greatest betrayal which has ever occurred in American history. That's quite a statement. Those are conclusions based on the evidence I will present to you, and I am here for the purpose of proving them. And so he says, to understand these conditions, it's necessary to trace briefly the history and development of the American subversive movement. It's the front lines of the battle to confront this directly. So education is one of the vital areas involved in this attack on the American system. And it leaves nothing out. And so from there, we jump into Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand, chapter 36, titled Education. And again, we're just tackling the subject of democratic socialism, specifically socialism in general, the Fabian Society, the largest progenitors of this ideology, kind of the headwaters of it, its various iterations and incarnations. And we'll get to Libya. The creation of the London School of Economics and its Fabian brand of socialism in the Gaddafi era. We're getting to that. We'll tackle that this week. So chapter 36 of The Unseen Hand, education. Education is an important tool for training children in the knowledge of the past. The Bible in Proverbs 22:6 tells why this is so. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The Communist Party has also decided that education is important to the furthering of their philosophy. Education became one of their concerns in the United States when they adopted the following as a party slogan in 1919. Give us one generation of small children to train to manhood and womanhood, and we will set up the Bolshevist form of the Soviet government. Even Hitler of the National Socialist Party in Germany sensed the importance of education. In a speech delivered in 1939, he proclaimed, "When an opponent declares, 'I will not come over to your side,' I calmly say, 'Your child belongs to us already. What are you? You will pass on. Your descendants, however, now stand in the new camp. In a short time, they will know nothing else but this new community.'" Early in 1937, he told the German people, quote, "This new Reich will give its youth to no one, but will itself take youth and give to youth its own education and its own upbringing. The dedication to the training of the young in the ways of the collectivist was confirmed in 1932 when William Z. Foster, the national chairman of the Communist Party USA, wrote a book entitled Toward a Soviet America, in which he observed, and I always think it's interesting to note here, the translation of the word Soviet to English means councils and committees. So where are we in America? Oh, we would never. Wait a minute, what? William Z. Foster's Toward a Soviet America, in which he observed, among the elementary measures the American Soviet government will adopt to further the Cultural Revolution are the following. The schools, colleges, and universities will be coordinated and grouped under a National Department of Education and its state and local branches. The studies will be revolutionized, being cleansed of religious, patriotic, and other features of bourgeois ideology. Gosh, that sounds like attacking exactly the tenets that Aaron Sargent talked about, that the foundations, by which the foundations should be operating. How ironic. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Final segment of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. It's Wednesday, October 30th, 2019. I wonder if any of this matters. Does it register with people in America? Are we just so you know, pulverized by propaganda and learned helplessness and all that stuff, that it just, are we just saturated? I hope not. I'm going to return to the Reese Committee testimony here for a moment. The exchanges between Hayes and Sargent. It's interesting stuff. So there's a little bit of, you know, contest. Anyway, Sargent says, may I continue then, Mr. Reese? And so he's allowed to continue. Hayes says, you say when the beachhead was established in our country, quote unquote, you are talking about what beachhead? And Sargent responds, the beachhead of the organized socialist movement, which had its inception in Great Britain under the Fabian tactic, and which came in here to infiltrate our educational system. Hayes says, you apparently know there was a beachhead. When and where was it established? When was the first landing made? Sargent, a definite landing was made as far as becoming an effective agency in about 1905 with the organization of the Intercollegiate Socialist Society, the ISS. That is one of the points I am going to cover in my testimony when I get to it. Hayes, we will get to that. We will get to it a little in advance. What was the name of the organization? Sargent, Intercollegiate Socialist Society, organized by Jack London and a number of others in Peck's Restaurant in New York City. Hayes, in 1905, Sargent, about 1905. Hayes, by Jack London? Sargent, yes. Hayes, is that the Jack London that used to write some books? Sargent, that is right. That's the man. I have a pamphlet explaining that which I will read to the committee when I get to that point. Hayes, did he import this thing from some other place? Sargent, he was a member of a radical intellectual elite that came in here definitely to try to twist our institutions around in favor of the organized socialist movement. What's the problem with that? Well, Sargent elaborates on that. We'll get to that in the next segment. Third hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.